Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
No, we missed 14 through, I think it was 18. But I went back and I read those. And if you listen to Pastor Teresa's sermon, it literally is the same. It talks about it, so it repeats it. So just so you know, I'm very aware, I know, okay, because I've had people go, well, just you don't want to miss them. And the OCD in me is like, we didn't get to those scriptures. And I had to literally go into prayer and be like, God, is this okay? Are we sinning before you, like by not going line upon line? So we are going to skip those scriptures because they are, if you go back and read them, they're Teresa's message. So it just really, go back and get Teresa's word. She talked about the peace of God. She talked about all of that. And then mom, I loved the citizenship of heaven and who we are in Christ, that we are sojourners on this journey with God. Isn't that an awesome word? How many of you were here last week? Well done. What is our heaven perspective and our earth perspective, right? So today we're going to get into the word. Are you ready to get the word of God? I feel a little disjointed because, I mean, we took 4 days off and it felt like 100. Have you ever done that? It's wonderful. And when you go, girls, and you get outside into what God created, it does something to you. Because we went to a place I've never been to before. I've heard like a million people talk about it. And my husband is Mr. National Parks man, okay? And all of us, the kids and me, are like, yay, we get to drive and hike. So we do it for Dan. And so we get to this national park, and it was unlike any that I've been to. It was called Zion. And every mountain in this park was named something godly. They had the Great White Throne, and from like where we were staying, we could see the Great White Throne. I'm like, this is God talking to me. And then they had the three patriarchs, and it was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They named the mountains that. They called the whole park Zion. We walked through narrows. You know, the path is narrow. Like, everything was so biblical here. I'm not kidding. I heard from God in new ways I've never heard from. It's 5 hours away. If you can drive and camp, you guys can go have a good vacation. So go to Zion if you can. You need to see it because it's something God created. And as I was looking at these rock formations, I should have put a picture up there. I don't know if you guys could take my phone and do that, but I don't know. I'm a little off. But they had these rock formations. And the way that God did this, it was like layers of colors. And I was looking at them, and the Lord said, you're like that. There's layers of color in your life. And every color and every layer represents a season that has created you into this beautiful rock formation that reaches higher and higher to me and celebrates my name and tells my story. Because I couldn't go to these beautiful places and not see God's story. You just can't. And so, girls, I want to encourage you this summer, take a little road trip if you can and go camping or do something neat. Get into nature and see what God made. Because when we sing these songs that the vastness of the ocean and when we sing these songs about the beauty of what he created, we can't understand those things unless we've experienced or seen them. And so as I was there, God just really began to speak to my heart. And he began to talk to me about building with a purpose. And so today we're going to get into the mystery of belonging, but my title will be Building with a Purpose. Many of you just learned last week that you are new citizens in the kingdom of the Most High God, that you are part of a family, that you are now a sojourner and a joint heir. You remember, we've been going through this for so many times. I love Ephesians because it like drills it in and drills it in and drills it in. So when you want to back away from your family, have you ever done that? Like, have you ever been in a family fight and you're like, I don't know them, right? Is it just me? So, and you're like, I don't know where I came. How did I get into this family? Like, you can't just separate from them, right? Your family. So God says, your family. So whether you like what I'm saying to you or not, you're still my child. Your family. So whether you like it or not, you still have my covering. You're still in my place. You're still in your spot. You're still a part of who I am. And so when you want to back away and when you want to be like, I don't really want to do the God thing, or when you want to say, yeah, I just don't feel like it today, God says, it doesn't matter if you feel like it. You're part of this family. There were times that we would have, you know, issues in our family when I was young. And I don't know if you guys do this, but my dad and mom would call family meeting. Usually those family meetings were about me. And it was usually me needing to say sorry to everybody. And I'm like, sorry, like my name is sorry. Like it should be Jessica sorry, because that was pretty much my role, right? And in the family meeting, though, it would always break down barriers. It would always, like, put something out there that you want to sweep under the rug. Mom and Dad would be like, we're lifting this rug. This is here. What are we doing? And I feel like sometimes when we're a part of a family, families operate differently. We all come from different atmospheres. We all come from different places. I married into the Roth family, and they are a quiet bunch of people, except for Sue. But Dan is the loudest one in his family, and a lot of people think Dan is quiet. And so I came into the family, and I was like, they probably were like, oh, gosh. And then my sister-in-law, Anna, was just as loud as me, and I was like, hallelujah, we got two loud people in this family. But you see, I had to learn the Roth side of things in order to be a part of the Roth family. And then Dan had to learn the Cobra side of things, that where you got seven conversations going. If you want to say something, you better just jump in. And if you don't, then you know what? You obviously didn't want to be heard. So that is how that works. And so Dan had to really quickly learn that my dad is going to eat off his plate. Because that's what you do. If you sit at the table, Dad eats off everyone's plates. And he told me, he goes, that was the weirdest thing for me. Like, your dad, I didn't even know him. He leans over and eats off my plate. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't even notice. Like, right? So, like, if you think about your families, you have quirks, right, in your family. Like, maybe you guys blow up at each other, and then you say sorry, and literally you're totally fine. But the rest of the family is like, what? You know, like, you marry into someone's family, it takes some time to adjust, right? So now here we go. We are now sinners in a world that God has given us. And he says, now you have been adopted. You have been grafted in. You are now a part of this new kingdom, this new family. But then what does that mean then? I know Pastor Deborah said it means that we got to change our perspective. Absolutely, 100%. You got to flip the switch in your mind. Because you're going to see things through your old way of doing things, and it's not going to match up with what your heart is saying any longer, because they're two different worlds that don't work together. They compete against each other. But yet, God is saying, here you are. You're now a new citizen in the family. You are a part of something great. So how do we adapt? How do you stake your claim in that family? How do you be who you're supposed to be in the family of God? Today, we're going to talk about that. How do you build your spot and your purpose in life in the new understanding of your inheritance and who you are as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? That's a totally different kingdom, right? When I think about that, I'm like, oh, praise God, I don't have to be a citizen of this society who is a hot mess, right? Like, I can look at what's happening on the news or in politics or with all the things that are going on. I can go, well, good thing I'm not a citizen of that. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That means that all of this is temporary. This is just a passing through. When I get there one day on the other side, that is truly who I am. And so here on earth, I am building my kingdom of heaven, and I'm building God's kingdom, and I'm doing what God has asked me to do, because on this side, I have a job to do. So if you said yes to Jesus just recently, and you're going, what? I'm here to say you have a purpose. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. You're special in his eyes. Maybe you've grown up just thinking, like, today I'm going to the store. Ho-hum. This is a normal day. Like, today I'm going to, like, say hi to some of the people that are my friends. No, your day is different. Today I'm going to the store because I need to be on assignment. What does God need me to say to someone? What smile do I need to put on someone's face today? Today, I need to go have lunch with someone on purpose. And I need to take them out, and I need to encourage their hearts, because maybe they lost a parent. Maybe they're fighting cancer. Maybe they feel devastated, and they don't know where they fit in any longer. And they need a friend. You see, you're on assignment. And in a family, you pick up. Now, girls, when something's going on in my house, I pick it up. I can feel my kids. I can feel the stupid dogs even. And Dan, I'm like, did you hear that? No. And I'm like, can you go check on the kids? Why? You heard it. Because I'm being lazy and I want you to do it. Because we are, our bedroom's upstairs. They're downstairs now. And that was my biggest thing. And he likes to shut the door. I'm like, don't shut the door. Like, I know what you're doing. Keep that door open because I got babies downstairs and they need to hear me. You see, in a family, you all work together, right? My kids are at home. I'm giving them chores. You vacuum the whole house. And then when I came home yesterday, you know what they said? All three of them came up to me about 50 times. We vacuumed the house for you today, Mom. Oh, it took us all day to vacuum the house. And I'm like, Grammy texted me at 4 o'clock. And I got home at 5:30. So it wasn't all day that you vacuumed the house. You see, everybody has a part in the family. Everybody has a place, and everybody has an assignment. Everybody has a purpose in the home, right? So what is our purpose? What is our assignment? Where is God taking us in this journey? I want to read to you in Ephesians 2, 20 through 22. We're going to pick up there. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I'm going to stop there. The apostles and the prophets of the New Testament and the Old Testament laid a foundation for us. They wrote out the scripture. If you haven't seen the movie Paul the Apostle, you need to see it this summer, because you will see the price that was paid by other Christians. They put a beautiful visual of that for us up. And what they did is why we get to be here today reading the Word of God. What they poured out, what they wrote down, what they took time in, what they gave their lives for, the gospel. We get to sit in this room today. We get to open it up. We get to study it. We get to learn who we are in Christ and not listen to the lies of the enemy, but listen to who God says we are. All because the apostles and the prophets went before us and they paid a price. And then it says, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You know, honestly, I'm not a builder. I went, what is a cornerstone? We're going to get into that, okay? We're gonna dig into what a cornerstone is. We're going to look into why a cornerstone. What does that mean? Verse 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together, the whole building, girls, is you and I. The kingdom and the body of Christ being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. Did you know that you are a temple of the Most High God? You go, what? Why didn't he give me a better temple? Well, are you being a good steward? Okay. That was to me because I started working out this week. Ask Pastor Michelle. I was like, I need to stop eating sugar. Okay. Verse 22. In whom you also are being built together for the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now listen, I'm going to read it in the Message because I just love the way the Message says this. Now it goes into verse 19. So we'll kind of reverse what Pastor Deborah said and where Teresa was coming out of. He is our peace. He is our rock that we can go to the throne room, that it is open to us. Okay. And it says, is that plain enough? Isn't it? You are no longer wandering exiles. Did you know that when you were sinners, you didn't know God, that you were just wandering out in the world and you were left to yourself? You are no longer that girl. You have a belonging. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. God knows your name. You weren't just thrown away. I don't care how the world has said it to you. God says, oh, I love you. You are my princess. You are my precious. I love you with everything in me. I'm setting you up for success. So when the world and the people in this world fail you, God says, you're more than enough. I've got you. I've got you, and I love you. And that's what that's saying. I love that scripture. We were wandering, and the kingdom of faith is now your home country. I love that. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. Say, I belong here. With as much right to the name of Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all. Wait, purpose? Is he just using Pastor Jess? No, but he's using Marlo, right? He's using Michelle. He's using all those ushers back there that are serving. Say hi. Thank you guys for serving because you're building the kingdom of God today. He's using every single one of you in your capacity, in your world. I can't come home with you and be the mama to your kids. And I don't want to. That's your job. I got my own kids and it's enough. Right? But nobody can be you. And that's what God is saying. He's saying, no one can be you. No one can be that. God is building a home. He is using us all, introspective, of how we got here. In what he is building, he used the apostles and the prophets in the foundation. He is using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone. Oh, I looked at those mountains, layer of mountain by layer of mountain. God is building. We see it taking shape day after day. If you had a bad day, you're like, God, I failed you today. I cussed way too much. I yelled at those kids way too much. I told my husband off. Let's talk about it. You know, I went and had too much weed. I engaged in homosexual activity. Whatever your issue is, it is not too big for the kingdom of God. Because God says, I have you, I will cover you, I will help you brick by brick change your old identity into your new identity. You see, you can't do this on your own, girls. So stop trying. We're all day to day, grace by grace, moving closer to God, trying to be more like him, striving. That's our job here on earth, is to be more like Christ. So when you fail, take a break and say, it's all right. God, forgive me. I'm going to do better next. You know, somebody had once told me I had gained like 80 pounds with my second kid because I had Mexican food 3 times a day. So if you're pregnant, don't do that. And he loves Mexican food now. So when I was like trying to lose the weight, I was having a really hard time working out. I hated working out. Does anyone else like working out or hate working out? I hate working out. So I'm like, I could be doing so many things like else. Like, this is not what I want to be doing today. And so I was like working out, and I couldn't make it through 5 minutes of workout. Like, I was just dying. And somebody told me, just start with two. Just get through 2 minutes. And I'm like, really? And they were like, just do it. Just do 2 minutes. I did 2 minutes. The next day they were like, do 2 minutes and 30 seconds. I was like, come on. And they were like, no, just do it. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, add a sit-up in there. Well, I used to be able to do sit-ups in high school, but those didn't even happen anymore. You know, like, this whole midsection gets ruined when you have children. And so I was like, what? And so I started doing sit-ups. I started to be able to work out for like an hour after all of that. I lost all that 80 pounds. I've gained half of it back. But I did it. And so it is saying brick by brick, grace by grace, like we sang today, guys. God's mercy is new every morning. You see, you are his, and he's got your back. And so he's saying stone by stone with Christ Jesus as his cornerstone that holds all parts together. You don't have to hold it together. You were never called to be the one to hold it all together. Have you ever been the glue in your family? The one everybody comes to? The one that fixes all the fires when they're going out. Do you ever feel like you're like that little thing putting all the fires out in your life? Did you know that you were never meant to always be that person? God is the cornerstone. He's the one that carries it. He's the one that takes all the weight on. He's the one that holds up when we can't. So girls, he's our chief cornerstone. He's the part of us that we are. We see it taking shape day after day. The holy temple being built by God. You are a holy temple. You are being built by God. Every day, all of us built into a temple into which God is quite at home. Gosh, I don't know about you, but I want him to have his home with me. I want to have my home with him. So today, let's talk about being builders. How do I build and where do I start? Number one, you guys ready? I have a firm foundation. Some of you live on some shaky ground in life. Some of you have some messed up relationships. Some of you have had good things happen, and then you've had a whole bunch of bad happen. But God is saying, in all of it, that's called life. You have a firm foundation, something that's stable. Have you ever said, I just need some consistency? I just need some consistency. And God is saying, the one thing that you can always trust in is me. I am your firm foundation. I'm going nowhere. I'm strong. I'm steady. I'm not going to be the ground shaking under you and throwing you off. I am going to be there for you. And it says in Ephesians 2:20, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Can I have a picture up there? I took a picture of this from the web, and it says Jesus Christ the cornerstone. I loved this. But did you know that they take a cornerstone in a building? I did not know this. I learned this. And in that cornerstone, everything is directed from it. It is the path. It is the straight line of the wall. It is the anchor with all the bricks being put together. So it is the guide for the rest of the bricks to be built up. You see, when Jesus is not your centerpiece, when he's not your cornerstone, when he's not your all in all, and you go, what happened? Why is life a hot mess? Well, I would question you. Where is God in your life then? Are you addressing him on the matters? Are you seeking him in the ways you need to seek him? Is he everything to you, or is he a meh? Today I'm going to serve God. You see, God is saying, I am a firm foundation. I'm here. I'm steady. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to let you down. I am the one that will guide you. I'm the one that will build you. I'm the one that will strengthen you. But when we don't tap in to knowing that that is what we're building on, we're going to build on rocky ground. We're going to build on shaky ground, on ground of sand. If you remember that old song? How does it go? I will... Christ is solid rock, I stand on solid ground, or solid. All our ground is, Michelle, come on, Michelle, sing it. She's even air guitaring the song right now if you're listening by tape. But it's so true. And so when you go into life and life seems shallow, we walked this path called the Narrows. The Narrows is like this much water right now in the summertime. I can't imagine what it's like in the winter. And it had rocks everywhere. And the people, the locals, were like, don't buy the shoes. And that's just a gimmick. They just want to take your money. Just wear your water shoes and find a stick. And we were like, okay. So we wore our water shoes. But they did not tell us that, like, oh, you're carrying children? Yeah, you probably should wear better shoes than water shoes. Because we had little Ryan and Caitlin, and so we had babies, so we were carrying them. But as we're walking the Narrows, we're walking on these rocks, and they were slippery. And then they would roll under your feet, and we'd be like, ah, and I can't tell you how many times the kids fell out. I mean, they would fall, and they thought it was fun. You know, as adults, you're thinking, I don't want to twist my ankle in the middle of nowhere, like, and then I got to get back with all these kids. And that was not solid ground. That was not something I'd bank on. That's not something I want to walk in every day, right? But when I walked on the cliff face, there was a solid cliff. And that thing was sturdy rock. It wasn't going anywhere. It was solid. It was actually formed like this around me. So the wind and the sun and everything was blocking me. And I got to walk a whole path along a cliff like that. I said, this is the best hike ever. I'm in shade. Like, it's solid ground. I'm not worried about the kids falling. This is great. And you know, that's what God is saying, that he is the rock of our salvation, that he is the chief cornerstone. He's going to cover us from the elements. He's going to take care of us in the hard times. He's the solid ground. He's not shaky. He's not stumbly. He's not going to make us fall. He is the one that is holding it all together. When I know that I can count on something, some of you have been let down so much, you don't trust anyone. You don't trust anyone. And then you bring those trust issues into your relationship with God. And God is like, come on. Like, when have I ever let you down? And you say, well, when that marriage failed, you let me down. And God says, no, I didn't. I was there the whole time. I was there walking you through and holding your hand. I cried with you that day. I was right next to you through that. And I'm going to get you through this. You're not alone. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You see, don't bring your trust issues with what man has done into what kingdom wants to bring you, because you will be left out of the goodness and the glory of God's majesty, because you won't be able to grasp it, because you're always just, I don't know about God. And God is going, what do you not know about? You wouldn't even be breathing if it weren't for me. What do you not understand? That I gave you life. That I knew you before your mother knew you. That you, I don't care how you got in this world, I needed you. And that you're that important to me. And that all the things that have happened, sin brings into your life, but I can rescue you from. And I can turn that whole thing around, and I can turn it out for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. It may look bleak right now, but if you put your trust in the firm foundation of who Jesus Christ is, and you deal with those issues, he will walk you through every piece, every layer of your heart. He will be a firm foundation for you to be steady with. He will take you through new places. He will take you down new paths. You will see the light of his glory on a daily basis, and you will have hope again, girls. That is what the firm foundation, the cornerstone is. In every stone building, one stone is crucial. It is laid first, and it is also to ensure that the building is square and stable. It is the rock upon which the weight of the entire structure rests. It is the cornerstone. Your life will rest on him. Lean on him today because he's a foundation you can trust. One that's not going away, one that's not going to break away, one that's not going to fall apart underneath you. God is your cornerstone. Peter 2, 4 through 8 says, coming to him as a living cornerstone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God as precious. You also, as living stones, say, I'm a living stone, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him, his name is Jesus, he will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, talking to us, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and the stone of a stumbling and a rock of offense. When you reject God, you become offended. When you have a heart of offense, you can't go any far. Have you ever noticed, like, you're just offended with somebody, so everything they do, they can't win? Have you ever been the person on the other side of that? Like, I can't win. Like, I try everything and nothing works. Like, I try and apologize. They're still mad at me. I try and laugh at them. I give them gifts. And it's still nothing. Listen, there's nothing you can do. You've done your part. Now it's on them. Because when an offense gets in, it creates a root of bitterness. And that foundation, it breaks through and it breaks apart that foundation. They're on rocky ground. They've got to get themselves right. But do you know what you can do as the Christian and as the godly person? You can hit your knees. And you can begin to pray for them. You can begin to ask God to turn their hearts. You can begin to ask God to say, hey, God, I need your help on this. Because I need to have some breakthrough in this relationship. It may be years that you see that outcome. It may be months that you see that outcome. It may be the next day. But don't untrust that God is moving, because your prayers are powerful. And that foundation is important. And he's strong. And you will see a turnaround. Because when you don't trust God, you get offended. They stumble and they're being disobedient to the word, ooh, to which they also were appointed. You see, we know other Christians that have been disobedient to the word. And we wonder why. Why are some Christians blessed and some Christians aren't? You know what I think? I think some Christians really get the firm foundation that they stand on. And I think other Christians allow circumstances in life to shake their ground so much that they get off. They step off of the foundation. And they walk away. They go, oh, no, I still love God. Yeah, I do. Yeah, no, I'll go to church every once in a while. When was the last time you prayed? Well, for dinner, sometimes. And God is saying, no, 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 no. Remember how I talked about my kids, the one that's closest, the one that stays, the one that's got my ear, the one that's sucked me like glue? That one's going to have the firm foundation. That one's going to understand the stability of life. That one's going to have wisdom poured into them. That's the Christian I want to build you up to be, girls, because that's who you are. That's what you have in this family of the kingdom of God. This is all available to you, but it's your choice if you're going to build on that firm foundation. If you're going to walk off of it and allow God to just do what he does, and you're going to do your own thing. And God's grace is sufficient to pull you back. But the prayers of the righteous will be heard. So if mamas, if you're out there praying for your kids, keep praying. Because God hears you. God loves them. And I believe God's going to bring them home. Number two, how do I build? You have a firm foundation. And then you have to know, I am the temple that's going to be built. I am the temple. Say, I am the temple of the Most High God. That sounds so old school, right? Like temple, tabernacle. Dan was just telling me about a young guy who's taken over a tabernacle church in Durso is taking over his father's church up in New York. And I'm like, is he going to tabernacle? Like, that's just such an old school name. But actually, there's such a holiness in these names. Because when they went into the temple, it was holy ground. When they went into the temple, there were boundaries and there were rules to even enter in. You had to wash, you had to cleanse, your heart had to be right. There was one that could approach the throne. They put a tie around his ankle so that if he was ungodly and he went before the throne, they could drag him out because he would die. I mean, it was no joke going into the temple. We no longer have those temples because guess why? The Holy Spirit, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, he came and he lives inside of you and dwells in you, and you are the temple of the Most High God. You carry Jesus with you, in you, and around you every single day. You are the temple. When we forget who we are, we don't operate in what our family represents. What is that doing to the character and the testimony of Jesus Christ? You are walking evangelists everywhere you go. And you are temples of the holy, almighty God. And God says, you be holy for I am holy. Have you ever said to your kids, well, I don't care what they do, but in this family, this is what we do. That has been a conversation I've had a lot as they are turning into teenagers. Now, I don't care if their parents let them have social media. You aren't. You can hate me all you want. One day you'll thank me. You see, because in our family, we're going to hold a different standard. Because I represent Jesus Christ. You're not going to see Pastor Dan and I, and I'm not, this is not a conviction for you. But we're not going to drink. Because if someone has an alcoholic problem, they see Pastor Dan and Jess out there having a beer or having a glass of wine, and they're going to go all judgy and they're going to walk away from God for it. I've seen it happen time and time and time and time again. And then check this out. I don't want to do it for myself. Can I tell you why? Because I don't want weakness. I don't want to be off my guard when the enemy is coming at me. So your pastor is doing it for you and for us. But you know what? Do I feel like I have less than? No. Like, are there days that I'm like, this would be a day that I could have a glass of wine? Yes. And then I go get coffee. I think that's the pastor's drug of choice. So if you want to bring all the pastors your coffee, we will accept it, okay? But that is not a conviction for you. It's something that for me and Dan, we have made that commitment to each other. Because we love people enough to do that. And they go, well, then other pastors don't. No, I'm not in their world. That's their own convictions. I don't judge. I sat at a table just the other day. We were at the beach. We took the kids to the beach because they turned out our electricity. So we went to go eat. And this guy is like talking. And he's like, that guy, he's talking about ministry. I'm like, this guy's a pastor. And Dan's like, oh, okay, look at what he's drinking. He was pounding a man, like, and I'm like. So then afterwards, my dad says, hey, we were eavesdropping on your conversation. I'm like. Dad! I was dying. Like, oh my gosh. And you could tell the guy was like, oh. And so like, but honestly, we were like, no judgment, man. That's like how you want to live your life. You know, it's cool. And we talked about other things. We talked about ministry. We said, hey, it's good to be in ministry with you. Love you, brother. Da-da. And they moved on. They was a good man. And he wasn't drunk. But those are my convictions, right? And what is it that in me that God is asking me to do so that I could take the level of what he needs me to do, right? Who are you? And what is God asking you to do? Because everybody individually has different assignments. And everybody has different places and levels of what God needs them to do. So what is God asking you to do inside of this family as his temple? What are you representing? When you go out, people are watching you. Did you know that? When they know you're a Christian, they're listening, eavesdropping at the next table. When you're out and you're mad at your kids, I got so mad at my kids when they broke the sunroof on my new car. Yeah. Like, I haven't had anger like that in, like, a long time. Like, every cuss word went through my head. But I had my best friend's kids in the car, and I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. No, I'm going to do it. And, I mean, we were just like, do you want me to tell you what I said? Confessions of pastor. Should I tell them the funny story? So they break my sunroof and I am hot. I'm like, this is why we can't have nice things. Like, this is not okay. You know, when did you think that this was ever okay? Like, Titus, what were you thinking? And he's like, I wasn't. And this is a normal conversation. Like, he doesn't think. And so I'm so mad. And so, like, Dan pulls in and he's trying to fix the roof with Tim. And then I'm walking because I'm like, I've got to walk this off. I'm so mad. Like, I got to walk this off. You know, and I'm like a clean freak. If you know me, I'm a clean freak. So it's already dirty. And they're like, I'm sorry, Mom. They're like cleaning the seats. And I'm like, I don't care about the seats. Like, I knew this would happen. And so I get back in the car. And we've been hearing the whole trip. If you see the longhorn sheep, you are blessed by God because they're amazing. And nobody gets to see them when they're here. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay. I didn't know what these people were talking about. So we turned around and I'm really mad. I mean, have you ever been so mad you're like, you can see like the cartoon character where the like fire's coming out the ears? You know, like my body is hot and I'm like, don't talk to me. You know, like that was how mad I was. And so, and Dan and all the kids are like. So Titus is in the way back, Chloe's in the middle, and we're sitting waiting to go back through this tunnel. And all of a sudden on our right-hand side, literally like where the table is to here, sheep come up out of a whole herd of these sheep, come up and stand next to our car and start eating. And I know this is like a God moment, right? Like, so I'm like scrounging for my phone. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? I'm going to get a picture of this, you know, like, and I'm just so mad. And I'm like yelling at the guy, look at the sheep, guys. Do you see the sheep? And they're like, yes, we see the sheep. Oh my gosh. Like my mom is crazy. And I'm like, turn around, looking at Chloe, look at the sheep. And she's like on her phone, like, I'm not looking up. And I'm like, Chloe, look at the damn sheep. At that moment, the car erupted. And Chloe was like, like, oh my gosh, Mom has lost it. And then we all just laughed. I mean, we laughed so hard. And I'm like, it's a stupid sunroof. Like, whatever. I'm sorry, kids. Like, oh my gosh, this is so materialistic of me. I'm so sorry. And like, you know, I'm apologizing the rest of the trip, you know. And now Chloe found the picture and she made a family meme that says, look at the damn sheep. So, see, we all need Jesus. We all need him, girls. No one is perfect. I am still trying, right? One brick at a time, grace by grace. Okay? Listen, you're going to have those days. But me knowing who I was, right away I had to switch over and go, guys, I'm so sorry. Mom shouldn't be using those words. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't be getting that mad over something stupid and materialistic that the first ding on the door is going to be over, then it ain't nice anymore, right? Like, material things are going to fall apart, but eternal things will never let me down, and I've got to keep my perspective there. And that is what God is saying. You are a temple of the Most High God. In Matthew 16:32, Jesus arrived at a village in Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, what are people saying about the Son of Man and who he is? They replied, some think that you're John the Baptizer. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. He pressed them. And how about you? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter says, you're Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus came back and God blessed you. Simon, son of Jonah, you didn't get the answer out of books. Ooh, I love that. Or from teachers. I love this too. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret of who I really am. He heard from God. What are you hearing as the temple of the Most High? God wants to speak to you. God wants to say some things to you, but you've got to get alone. You've got to fill the temple with the Holy Spirit. You've got to be connected to who is living inside of you. And this is not an age barrier or a race barrier. This doesn't matter what you are good enough or not good enough. God is speaking. He wants to talk to you. He says you are the temple of the Most High God, and you need to hear from the voice of God just as he did. And I love this, and it goes on. My Father in heaven, God in heaven himself, let you in on the secret. You are Peter, a rock, and on this rock on which I put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that's not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. Girls, did you know that the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, this is our founding scripture, that we are founded on the rock and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? That's what God is doing at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. There's a vision for the Empire. There's a vision for souls. There's a vision for the lost. Those that think there's no hope, there's a hope. His name is Jesus. But we are the temples that carry the hope into this lost world. That is what God is saying today, that he is the rock. And I love this. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to the God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. What? No more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. And yes is, and yes on earth is yes in heaven. I love that. And no on earth is no in heaven. When you say hell no to Satan and his schemes, to his plans over your body, to his plans over your kid's life, to his plans over the devourer that is taking from your finances. Do you ever feel like money's flying out the window? Well, you know what? Close that window and say hell no. Say no to hell. Because God has your back. You hold the keys to the kingdom. You are the temple of the Most High God. He swore to his disciples in secrecy. He made them promise not to tell, because he was ready to explode with what it was. Girls, guard your temple. Guard your temple. No one else can guard your temple. You can look at people and be like, I want to be like them. I hate how we glamorize, I guess, people. I've always been the one that is probably awkward when famous people are around. I've been introduced to a lot of famous people, and honestly, I'm like, oh, hi. Like, sorry, I don't really know who you are. One time I met this really famous pastor. I didn't know he was famous. And I'm like, hi, it's nice to meet you. What's your name? And then I'm like, what church are you with? And Dan is next to me like, and I'm like, because honestly, I don't freaking care. Like, I love Jesus. I'm not here to make someone famous. I'm only here to make him famous. And if you're a servant of the Most High God, let's serve. Let's do our job. Servanthood means you look dirty. Servanthood means you are in and your holy temple is representing and you are doing what God is asking you to do. So girls, let's be awesome temples of the Most High God. Guard your ears. Guard your eyes. Guard what you're putting in and listening to. You wonder why things are wreaking havoc. You know, one time I was young, long time ago. And I snuck with my friend watching scary movies. And I'd never seen one, you know, like my parents, no way. And I remember I watched People Under the Stairs. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Don't go and get it, okay, if you do. I couldn't breathe. I was like, like freaking out, right? I never slept for like a week after that. Like, I never understood what was going on. I couldn't open doors or cabinets. Like, I was freaking out. And I heard the Holy Spirit go, why did you let that in? You don't have peace because you're playing in two different worlds. You're highlighting the dark side of the spiritual. You're not highlighting the beautiful side of what I created. And I went, oh, I'm doing that again. So then, of course, I did it again. Because I'm a teenager. And do you remember that? What was that movie where they were in the forest and it was like Blair Witch? Yes, Blair Witch. And I was like, literally like in the movie theater, freaking out, and then went home and confessed 101 to my mom. Mom, I'm so sorry. And we had to pray that thing off because I could not sleep. I felt like demons were attacking me. Like, I'm not kidding you. You don't know what you dabble into, but when you're a temple of the Most High God, when the Holy Spirit's living on the inside of you, you won't be at rest in that stuff. You'll have an issue with it. You'll wonder what the issue is. You'll be like, I don't know why it kind of bugs me a little bit. But you know what? It's the Holy Spirit going, excuse me, I don't want to be subjected to this. Like, excuse me, I don't want to listen to this. Let's build you up. Let's not tear you down. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to build you up on a firm foundation. But you're tearing yourself down with what you're putting in, what you're hearing, what you're doing. Girls, let's guard our temples. Be holy, for he is holy. Leviticus 11:44. Number three, you have a purpose. Say, I have a purpose. You're not just here by chance. I've said this over and over again. Your purpose is to build the kingdom of God. You go, how do I do that? How do I build the kingdom of God? I mean, that seems so expansive. You know, you do brick by brick. New choice by new choice. New step by new step. I would have made that choice last week, but this week I'm going to not do that this week. I would have said this about that person last week, but I'm going to hold my tongue today. I'm not going to let gossip get in here. I would have been really angry about the stupid sunroof. But if that ever happens to me again, I'm not going to respond the way I did before, right? So we pick up and we learn and we take on and we go to the next level with God. We build brick by brick, layer by layer. We build in our hearts the spiritual maturity of what God is asking. I read something recently that said, what is a true sign of maturity? I thought it was very interesting. Number one, you don't always have to give your opinion about everything. And number two, you stop judging others because you don't know the full story. And I was like, dude, that's so good. Like, yes, God, get me there. Lord, help me to be more like you daily. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, well, actually, let's go to Ephesians 2:2. It says, in whom you also have been being built together. Look at the girl next to you and link arms for a second. Link arms. Going, why is she making us touch? This is called holding hands or linking arms. I know you can't do it through social media, but it's important. We're partners. We're in this together. We're building this together. Say, nice to see you, partner. Tell someone. Let's build the kingdom. Say, let's build the kingdom. You see, we're doing this together. You're not in this alone. Okay, you don't have to touch anymore. Stinking America. Oh my gosh. We're in this together. I love that. And it says, we're in this together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Dwelling place. He wants to sit and be and rest inside and with us. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm like, I carry Jesus, like my shoulders are back a little bit more today. Like, I can take a little firmer step, like, oh, he's got me. Because if this is shaky ground, I am already on firm foundation. That I don't know what's coming at me, but I'm going to be able to withstand the winds and the waves and the wild because I've got Jesus. And when you feel like you can't, you've got friends. You've got people. You say, I don't feel like I have friends. I don't feel like I have people. Can I say something to you? The Bible says you have to be a friend to make a friend. That means you need to reach out. Maybe you stopped reaching out. Maybe you stopped being a part of. Maybe you secluded yourself. And in seclusion and isolation, the enemy gets in there and he lies. And it becomes your truth. And the saddest part of it is you waste time until you figure out, whoa, I was never called to do life alone. That's why you need each other. That's why we have Women Rock. Listen, the girls gather. This is what we do, right? Like, we get together. I don't ever hear my husband be like, I'm going to have a man, like, man night out. Like, that would just be weird. Like, I wouldn't even know what to do. I'd be like, okay, what do you do? So, no, it's us girls. Hey, I'm going to go hang out with my friends. I'm going to go do this. I see, like, the pictures of girls going on girl vacations and stuff, which I'm like, what? How do you do that? But anyways, I haven't attained that yet. But at the reality of it is, God needs us to do this together because we're all building together. When I have a hard time, I can walk into Pastor Sue's office and I sit down, do I not? And I'm like, I'm just so irritated right now. And I just don't think I'm godly. And she's like, listen, I've been there. This is what the word says. Come on, you've got this. And she'll build me back up again. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for Pastor Sue. You know, I mean, honestly, Pastor Joanna, there's times she's walked by and she said, I love you. I'm praying for you. And she has no idea how much that meant. Or Pastor Michelle will walk in my office and be like, you okay today? Yeah, actually I am. Or there's been days, no, I'm not okay. And I'm telling you, that's why we need each other. And God, one day I'll be there for someone else, but one day they'll be there for me. And that doesn't mean one is greater than the other. It just means we are building the kingdom together because God never said, do it alone. He said, you need each other to build. You need each other to work together. For we are God's fellow workers. I love this 1 Corinthians 3:9. You are God's field. You are God's building. I love that. 1 Peter 2:9-10. But you are a chosen generation. I thought, how long ago was this written? So generation was like all those generations or now? And God says, I knew what I was writing. Every generation was chosen by me. And they were called for their time. So you are chosen for this time. At this purpose in this generation. So see, that's not for the old. That's for now. Don't disqualify yourself. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not people but are now people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Your promises, your purposes, everything is to build the kingdom. When you forget and you have a bad day and you forget you're called, because you will have those days, and where you feel like just you can't do it. I'm not good enough. I just can't make it. We started with that, remember? Today you came in here and I'm here to tell you, you can make it. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. You're important. I don't care what someone said to you or about you to try and tear you down in their own hurt, because God today is telling you that he loves you, that you're precious in his sight, that you're gorgeous and you're beautiful. Stop picking yourself apart because you're chosen by God. You're created by him. Your personality was actually given to you by him. I've been told you're so harsh. You're so such a big mouth. And honestly, it got to the point where I just like went in and I'm not saying anything. You become like the woe me and the victim of who you are. And that is never who God asked you to be. It was one day when God said, would you just get up already? Like, I didn't give you that personality to sink back. I gave you that personality to push through. And you will offend people. Oh, well, I need you to push through. And I'll tell you, with all the hell that comes against Deanna and I, me and my mom were talking about it this morning because she walks by my house every day and then texts me, hi, I'm at your front door. And I'm like, come on in. And then she goes deep, right? Like right away. Like, so she had been walking and praying the whole time until she got to my house. I'm like just getting up. Brain isn't working. And she's like, so like in scripture, you know, like da da da. And I'm like, no, it's too early. What, Dad, why did you let her out? Like, but she did. She was talking to me. And it was a beautiful conversation. I'm kidding. For everybody, I'm kidding. I love my mother to death. So we're talking and she's like, our purpose, our destiny. She's like, she told me this morning. She said, I got off my game for a while. But if you heard her preach last night, she's back. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I've been praying for that for a while. Because the enemy will try to take us out. He will try and come at you. And if you think you're the only one, you're not. Can everyone in this room say, yes, the enemy has tried to attack me? But it's what you do on the other side of that attack. It's that I have a purpose, and so I'm going to push through. And she said to me, she goes, as much as I didn't see it in the past, I see it now. You're feisty, and you're a go-getter, and your husband is stubborn, and you guys were built for this. And I'm like, Thanks. But reality is like, heck yeah, because I'm not going to let the devil push me around. Right? I'm not going to let people talk about me and it tear me down so bad that I don't keep going. You can say whatever you want about me. I really don't care. Because reality is I'm called by God as his child. And girls, I want you to stand up right now. And I want you to say, I'm called by God. I'm anointed to be his temple. I'm going to carry his word to the streets. I'm going to tell someone of who Jesus is. I'm a kingdom builder. My personality was given by Jesus Christ. So I love who I am. I love who God made me. And I'm going to operate in my position. And I'm going to build the kingdom. So hell no, Satan. You can try it, but you're going to lose. Because I have the victory in Jesus' name. All right, girls. Amen. Go ahead and sit down. I just had to get your blood flowing. So you have a purpose. You have a call. You have a destiny. Your convictions, remember, will not be other people's convictions. So don't be judgy. Please don't be judgy. If you're judgy with me, I'm going to be like, you're being judgy. You're annoying. Stop. Don't be judgy, right? Love each other. Maybe they're not where you were because they just got saved. Hello. You've been saved for like 20 years. Like, don't compare. So just love. Just be where God needs us to be. Be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Go the distance with God. Build the kingdom of God. Love each other because you need each other. Invite someone to church, girls. I know that you've been let down by that. How many of us have invited people and they never come? And you're like, I'm going to just stop. So annoying. I kind of sat through baseball this year like, I'm not even going to. Every time. Like, I was a little mad about it, right? Because I've done every season and I've invited people. No one comes. But I will tell you, the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, since when do you get to be like me? And I'm like, when I want to. I mean, I have these conversations with God. It's probably very hilarious to be a fly on the wall, right? But God loves people. And the world is very broken right now. Guess what? This is our time to get in. This is our time to bring hope. This is our time to give life. Because you are the life carrier. You are the light bearer for Jesus Christ. So girls, go be full-time ministers. Give God the glory today. Do something for the kingdom. I love you. You have a purpose. I love you, girls. I'm so glad you love this church and this house. Thank you for loving the house. Thank you for building the kingdom of God with us. Thank you so much. And I know we're moving into 30 years of celebrating the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Wow. Wow. What God has done. But what is God going to do next? Like, I literally am like, Lord, what do you need from us? What do you want us to be? These are my prayers. God, what is next? Because there's some deep things going on in the spirit realm, I can tell you right now. I can feel it in my prayers. I know God's ready to pour out, but he's arranging right now. He's putting together right now. He's setting up right now. Girls, come out on the 30th and celebrate with us. Celebrate the goodness of God and his faithfulness to the Inland Empire. For 30 years, this church has been here, loving people, feeding people, serving people, helping people through death and helping people through marriage, helping people, building lives, building hearts, building passion of the love of Jesus Christ in people. So will you come out on our 30th and celebrate with us? Because we are going to party like nobody can party, okay? And it is going to be a time of just refreshment and fun for the family. We are getting a Ferris wheel and a skating rink for you and your kids. You don't have to go down to the LA County Fair where you might get shot. You can stay here. Right? Dr. V, it's true, huh? I'm always like, duck! Okay. I'm kidding. You can stay here, and then we're going to have free food, and then we will have also vendors. There will be a Taco Man, so bring your money, and we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff, but before that, I want you to come on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Can I ask you to do that? Because it's not about the party. It's about what God did. It's about what God's doing. And we're going to cast vision for the next 30 years. We're gonna cast the heartbeat of what Jesus wants for this house. And so bring someone. We're excited to see what God does in the Inland Empire and the world, because I believe that that is what God is asking us for.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.